This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a leg! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Oregon hosting a massive matchup. Two top 10 programs, the Oregon Ducks and UCLA Bruins, set to square off Saturday, which means a bunch of visitors. I just got off the phone with Elijah Brown from Modern Day. He's the number five quarterback in the country. I think, personally, he's better than that. I think he's better than the number five quarterback in the nation. You look at what that young man has been through, and I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to end up being a top five quarterback even to project to the NFL. But if you were going to start a program with a player, Elijah Brown, a class of 2024 quarterback, so you know not going to interrupt Dante Moore coming in this next year as the number one recruit in America, according to Sports Illustrated. Elijah Brown is special, and I'm not sure there are five quarterbacks that if you were a college football program that you'd rather have from a can't-miss perspective. This is a young man that took over a modern-day program that expects to win national championships and took over the program as a freshman, starting quarterback as a freshman in high school of a national championship caliber program. Not only does he take over for a program like that, but their last two quarterbacks before him were JT Daniels, five-star quarterback, and Bryce Young, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Alabama, number one recruit in the entire country. So to not only have those kind of expectations set on you, you're taking over for JT Daniels and Bryce Young, what do you got, young man, as a freshman, but also at a program that says, you know, we don't really expect to lose. So you need to be good from day one. That's the expectation. So what has he done in his career? He's now 25-0 as a starter. He helped Modern Day to a national championship as a sophomore. They have not lost this year, and he projects to be the number one team. They are the number one team in the nation right now. They project to finish as the number one team in the nation. So it would be back-to-back national titles. He's got offers from all over the place. And again, when you look at players in high school, I think sometimes we get caught up in the evaluation part of it, and we forget, you know, if you're at a program where you've never really struggled, if you're at a program where it's never really been all that challenging, or you haven't faced that much adversity, or you haven't had to fill giant shoes, that when you get to the college level and suddenly you have to do that on the big stage, sometimes that stage is too big. So for Elijah Brown to have experienced that, what it's like to lead a program that wants to win not a high school, you know, not a state championship, but national championships, to come to a program and say, hey, you're taking over for a Heisman Trophy winning caliber quarterback, and to succeed, to me that says that guy has the character, the leadership, and the physical abilities to be a guy. Just got off the phone with him, literally like 45 minutes ago. Posted a story on scorebooklive.com. It's early in his recruiting process because he's only a high school junior, but he did say, I asked him, is Oregon going to be a strong contender for you? And he said, yes, yeah, they will definitely. Oregon is going to be in the mix for Elijah Brown to the absolute end. And again, I know, you know, after you get a guy like Dante Moore in this recruiting cycle, who is arguably the number one recruit in America, when you hear number five quarterback in America, maybe that doesn't quite move the needle for you the same way. But if there were any player in the country where you'd go, who's a guy that could handle that situation, could come in and compete, wouldn't be afraid to compete, and if you did sit behind Dante for a couple years, would be totally comfortable and would be ready and studied when the time was right. Dante Moore gets hurt and he comes in and plays well, or just flat out wins the starting job. Elijah Brown's your guy. Really, really impressed with what he had to say. I asked him about taking over for JT Daniels and Bryce Young. And he said, honestly, coming in, now this, remember, this is a hot kid who's coming into a program that expects to win national championships, and he's a freshman. And he said, the thing for me was to just play my style and do as much as I could do. Because if the coaches picked me to be the starter, they must have believed in my skill set. So it was important to play within myself, to trust my teammates. I have great teammates. I have great coaches. And just execute. It's really savvy stuff. And I know he's a junior explaining it now. But for that to be his mentality as a freshman, really impressive. He is visiting this weekend, and I think that is a marquee visitor. I know there are some other big names visiting Oregon this weekend. To me, they don't get much bigger than Elijah Brown. Connor Morissette, who has been on the show before, the SB Live sports reporter from California, has seen all those guys. He's seen Nico Emilave. Excuse me. He's seen all those top California quarterbacks. He's seen Malachi Nelson. He's seen all of them. And he said the best one to him in person when he's watched him is Elijah Brown. So that's a kid whose stock is rising. That's a kid who's being looked at now, at least, you know, internally within the state of California, as maybe the best of a great batch to come out of California since Bryce Young. Really, really impressive. He's visiting this weekend. Also, Jordan Davison's visiting Oregon this weekend. The number one running back in the class of 2025. Jordan Davison is unbelievable. Jordan Davison is a sophomore at Modern Day. He played as a freshman for a team that won a national championship. And he not only started out in the rotation, he started taking reps from the older guys. Jordan Davison, number one running back in the country in the class of 2025, a sophomore, already has offers from everybody. And I really mean everybody. I know there are times when everybody, and it's 20 schools and it's a few big schools. Everybody you can think of. Alabama, yep. Auburn, yep. Florida, Florida State, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Oklahoma, Penn State, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, USC, yep. All of them. Jordan Davison is a real one. And in the battle between Modern Day and St. John Bosco a couple weeks ago, the top two programs in the country, it was a 10-7 ball game late. Until Jordan Davison broke off a 38, 39-yard touchdown run to seal it in a game with 76 Division I prospects. 76 Division I prospects. We don't even have that many prospects in the entire state of Oregon. We don't even have half that many if you combine all the talent in Oregon. So in a game with 76 D1 talents, the guy that broke the game open and arguably the biggest star in that game was Jordan Davison, a sophomore. Unbelievable talent. He's visiting Oregon this weekend, and really then it becomes a who's who of the Modern Day program because Modern Day's bringing their whole squad. Yes, I led with Elijah Brown and Jordan Davison, but there's a whole contingent of Modern Day. They're bringing their whole program up, a big group of their program. Now, not every single guy, but a big, big chunk of them. Nathaniel Frazier, the guy that comes in as a 1-2 punch with Jordan Davison, who's a 4-star running back slash athlete in his own right. He's visiting Oregon this weekend. Jelani Davis, who started to kind of hint that there might be some Modern Day kids visiting next weekend. He was on last week's show, if you didn't tune in for that, and he said he wasn't supposed to really say anything, but he was coming, and he's like, you didn't hear that from me? Now, the reason he said that was because there was a whole crew of Modern Day kids, and he wasn't supposed to spill the beans on that. So he was just saying, I'm coming, and was willing to do the interview. But the hidden layer there, and the thing that I was like pumping the brakes on talking about, was that what he was really saying is, hey, there's a whole bunch of Modern Day kids coming, which is big news because it's a lot of 4- and 5-star kids coming along with Jelani Davis. Jelani is a 3-star prospect. He's a safety, but this is a kid that in big moments has played well. You talk about Jordan Davison being a star of that modern day St. John Bosco game. On the defensive side of the ball, it was really Jelani Davis. 13 tackles, 10 solo tackles, just making big time plays, and Bosco's got receivers. So if you're able to be in coverage and bring those guys down or come up in the run support and break plays up, and have 10 solo tackles from the safety spot, you're doing a good job. And you know he wasn't just tackling guys as a free safety 30 yards downfield because he blew a coverage or something, because the game was 17-7. It was a low-scoring game. It was played in a phone booth. So he was mostly coming up, helping out in run support and breaking things up as a defender, as a defensive back. So I like him a lot. He's visiting this weekend. And again, he told us that last week and then kind of said, hey, but you didn't hear it from me. And I kind of hemmed and hawed. And again, the reason he was doing that was he was trying not to spill the beans for his other athletes. Jack Ressler's visiting this weekend. And then two elite, elite offensive linemen out of modern day are visiting this weekend. DeAndre Carter, who is the number one interior offensive lineman in the country, is visiting this weekend. And Brandon Baker is visiting this weekend. Brandon Baker is the number two offensive tackle in America. Oregon's got a great shot. This is a return trip for him. In fact, he's made multiple trips. He loves the program. He loves Eugene. And if that name Baker, now there's Bakers everywhere, but if the last name Baker sounds familiar to Oregon fan, it's because Gary Baker, Brandon's older brother, was a defensive lineman for the Ducks a few years ago and had a very good experience at Oregon. That has trickled down to his brother. His brother's visiting this weekend, and he's also supposed to be our guest on the next segment as long as practice is out. So because I talked to Elijah Brown already, I'm going to assume practice is done for the offensive lineman too. So he will be our guest in the next segment. Jordan Davison, who I mentioned, is a class of 2025 prospect who's visiting. Ramir Davis is a young 2025 athlete from modern day who's visiting. And Marcus Harris is a three-star wide receiver. That's misleading, a 2025 three-star wide receiver for modern day. He's kind of mixed in with the rotation at modern day because he's only a sophomore and they're absolutely loaded everywhere. But that's a kid with multiple Pac-12 offers already, and he is going to have a chance in his junior and senior year to really, really rise up the rankings. The fact that he's already doing it as a sophomore at modern day means he's got a very bright future. Still want to see kind of how he develops, but the sky is the limit for Marcus Harris. Again, another 2025 visitor, another modern day player who's visiting. But I do want to get to Brandon Baker. There's a lot going on in his recruitment. He posted something that was huge with Oregon fans on social media. I'll talk to him about that and more. Again, Brandon Baker, the number two offensive tackle in the country, visiting Oregon this weekend, and he joins me next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Prospects. We cover them all. From Scorebook Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
In the last segment, we went over the visitor list for the Oregon Ducks. A ton of talent coming to Eugene. A ton of talent from modern day coming to Eugene. Not many more special than this young man, the number two offensive tackle in the entire country. He's Brandon Baker. Brandon, thanks for joining the show, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You've visited Oregon before, and this week you said, I got something for Oregon fan, and Oregon fan got all excited because they thought maybe you were committing. It wasn't that. But it was right. something really, really cool. You released like a 30-minute or 24-minute video, a behind-the-scenes look at an unofficial visit to Oregon, an in-depth look. What inspired you to do that, and how did you get that okayed, and what was the process for that? Walk me through it.
Yeah, just had a cool idea to thought it'd be really cool to record my visit at the University of Oregon. I actually did that at USC and Washington as well. And just making sure with Coach Lanning, prior to recording, asking if it was all good. And he gave us the okay and thought it would be perfectly fine to do so. So I also thought that was really cool for him to be okay with it and definitely still have a long ways to go with the whole recruiting process and documenting my process. So just the beginning.
Your brother went to Oregon. You've been very vocal about your interest in Oregon. You've made multiple trips to Oregon. What do you like about the Ducks so far?
Right. Just overall, just great energy. Every time I get down there, great vibes. Great people down there as well, especially with this new coaching staff. Great group of people, especially with Coach Lanning. Great energy, high energy person, along with Coach Vianney and Coach Clamp, great guys.
There was some thought that maybe Oregon's offensive line culture would slip a little when Mario left because he was such an offensive line guy. It feels like they've managed to bridge that gap. They got Josh Connerly, and it seems like there's a lot of offensive line prospects who are interested and intrigued by what Coach Dillon and those guys are building. What do you think of the O-line culture at Oregon and how they've managed to bridge that gap between Cristobal and now the Dan Lanning era?
Right. Yeah, Coach Cristobal and as well as Maribel, with the amount of experience that they have at the offensive line position, coaching position, definitely did great things at Oregon when they were there. I feel like coming in with Coach Lanning and Coach Clem and Coach Vianney, just overall, Coach Lanning is doing a great job with putting the right people around him, putting the players in the best position possible. And I feel like Coach Clem is doing a great job, especially with the group that he has at the moment. Doesn't really have, I wouldn't say, the most talented group or the best guys up front, but definitely doing a great job with what he has. So I'd say he definitely just has a lot of experience with the collegiate level as well as the NFL level. I know a few years back he was with the Steelers. So coming back to coach at Oregon, I definitely think it's a breath of fresh air.
Talking to modern day star Brandon Baker, the nation's number two offensive tackle. You're playing for the number one high school program in the nation. What would it mean to you guys to go back to back and win a national title this year?
Right, it would mean everything to me. That's definitely standard. Coach Rollinson is upheld for us and shown that it is capable each and every year, especially for a program like ours. Just striving to get better each and every day and taking it one step at a time. Gradually getting there, especially with playoffs arriving. So definitely excited for that.
How much is there a push amongst you guys, whether it's Oregon, whether it's USC, whether it's Washington, Alabama, wherever the school may be, that you guys want to stay together in college, that a group of you could potentially stay together and go to the same spot? Is that something you guys have talked about at all, or is that pretty separate in the sense you guys all kind of do your own recruitments?
Right. I definitely think not the first that's actually brought that up. I definitely think it'd be a great as well as a cool experience. You know, I have a lot of guys that he played with at high school go up on the college level with, but definitely something we haven't quite talked about yet, especially with the amount of time that we have, still a lot of time left in this whole recruiting process thing. So definitely taking it, like I said, one step at a time, but I haven't really talked much about that. No, not really.
Where are you at in terms of your recruitment? It feels like Oregon's very firmly in the mix for you, but you don't seem like you're particularly close to making a decision. Where's Oregon at for you, and what's your timeline on maybe trimming down your list or, potentially committing down the road?
Right. Oregon Pro's right at home for me, especially with the definitely comfortable setting and people around. But I'd say, like I've said a couple times now, the recruiting process is definitely still early, and I could definitely see myself committing sometime around August.
Of next year, right?
Right.
Good deal, man. All right, well, thank you very much for your time. Travel safe, enjoy the game, and we look forward to seeing more from you, whether that's unofficial visits to Oregon or wherever. Pretty cool to get that behind-the-scenes look, so thank you for sharing that with us.
All right, of course. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Big fan of the Baker family, good people. That's a big trip for him. The more you make those connections, and he's being honest. I mean, when he says he's not necessarily ready to make a decision anytime soon, but when a kid has an opportunity to visit anywhere in the country and fairly consistently he keeps coming back to the same place and saying things like Oregon feels like home, you know that's a school that's at least in the mix. And I'm not saying that they're the absolute favorite for him right now. I think there are other schools in it. I certainly think USC is one of those schools. But I do think that Oregon's doing a really good job with him. They could have potentially had a drop-off. You know, Gary Baker was not coached by the Dan Lanning crew. So to make sure that that family still felt welcome, that they still felt like they were a part of things, that there was a smooth transition for not just this program, but also for the alumni who were part of the previous program, that, hey, you can come back. You can come be a part of things. Bring your little brother. Come check things out. That's huge. And being able to do that and be able to say at least it's a similar program to helped Oregon tremendously. I do think Oregon's got a really good shot there. He did mention it's too early, but like I said, the fact that, you know, he's taken multiple trips to Oregon, keeps coming back to Oregon, saying Oregon feels like home, those are great signs for the Ducks. I certainly think they left a lot of meat on the bone in this recruiting cycle, and it's come to offensive line recruitment. When they landed Josh Connerly, the number one offensive tackle in the country this spring, like the last class of 2022 player to sign anywhere in the country, seemingly, or at least the last blue chip player to commit anywhere in the country, that seemed like Adrian Clem and Dan Lanning had proven, hey, we turned the page from the crystal ball era, and we're going to continue to recruit at an elite level. That actually hasn't been the case. In 2023, Oregon's taken a lot of three-star talents. And they've had a couple of wins on the recruiting trail that have been things like, well, they beat out Colorado State and UCLA and Nevada for an offensive lineman. And that's not traditional Oregon. I think you're going to see Oregon kind of get back to that traditional 4- and 5-star offensive line recruiting, or at least the modern Oregon with 4- and 5-star offensive line recruiting in this next cycle. Pivoting a little bit to basketball, I could not help watching the Blazers last night and watching Shadon Sharpe and Anfernee Simons and saying, we all should have seen this coming. That if you pay attention to recruiting rankings and you pay attention to how those things work or what those players tend to turn into, that we should have had a pretty good idea that Anfernee Simons had a chance to be a star and that Shadon Sharpe has a chance to be a superstar. I'll explain next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
X Golf to watch.
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is where it happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, featuring Scorebook Live Director of Recruiting, Andrew Nemec.
They might have priced themselves out of the rest of the top 50 recruits.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Watching the Blazers season opener last night, I couldn't help but think of things from a recruiting perspective and watching Anfernee Simons and really particularly Shadon Sharpe and think we should have seen this coming. Shadon Sharpe has a chance to be a generational talent. I don't just say that because of last night. I say that because of how talented he is and how talented we knew he was. When Portland ended up finishing 7th in the lottery, the lowest possible pick they could be, there was a lot of groaning. It's like, oh man, this was our shot to really take a swing. And I kind of think they were able to take that swing even with the 7th pick. And I don't think people realized how big a prize Shadon Sharpe could be. He was rated the number 3 prospect in the country in the class of 2021. And because he didn't play at Kentucky, there were, you know, he's supposed to play at Kentucky, then didn't. There were some questions about him, and he was able to fall to 7. But if you just take a look at who the number 3 prospect in the nation has been the last few years, it tends to be a very, very, very good player. In fact, it tends to be a superstar caliber player. There's a really good chance that if Shaedon Sharpe just lives up to being, air quotes, the number 3 player in a class, that means they're getting an all-star. Now, maybe not year 1, maybe year 2, year 3, maybe year 4. He's young. But we should have seen this coming, and we should see Shaedon Sharpe as an immediate plug-and-play potential piece off the bench that could score. Let me give you a list of guys who've been number 3 in the nation in their respective recruiting classes prior to Shaedon Sharpe's class. In 2020, Jonathan Kuminga. Okay, not great. Number 4 was Evan Mobley. In 2019, the number 3 player in the country, Anthony Edwards. In 2018, the number 3 player in the country, Cam Reddish. Number 5, Zion Williamson. In 2017, the number 3 player in the country, DeAndre Ayton. Number 4 was Mo Bamba. Number 6 was Jaren Jackson. And in 2018, the number 3 player in the country, 2016, the number 3 player in the country was Jason Tatum. Number 4 was Lonzo Ball. So if you look at the last 2020, 2019, last 5 years, every single one of those guys has at least been a rotation player. Cam Reddish, not great. Jonathan Kuminga, good piece on a championship team. Elite, maybe not, got a chance. The other names, Evan Mobley, Anthony Edwards, Zion Williamson, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson, Jason Tatum, and Lonzo Ball. If Shaedon Sharpe ends up hitting directly in the middle of those names, that's an absolute win. And that's mid-level expectation for a guy who's the number 3 player in a class. Yes, he went with the 7th pick, but if we take out the element that he went 7th and just go off recruiting rankings, which are getting more and more accurate every year, that is a home run. And I was on the air live talking football recruiting when Anfernee Simons was picked by the Blazers. And I stopped the segment and said, that is a phenomenal pick. He's the number 7 player in the country in his class. Let's go over the last 5 years of number 7 players in the country. 3 of them were really, really good NBA players. And that was a late first round pick. That same theory applies to Shaedon Sharpe, and I really believe, and I know Damian Lillard's getting older, and I know you'd love a plug-and-play player. I know it would be great. I mean, he got hurt, but to have a Chet Holmgren. I know that would be great. I know Paolo Banchero is unbelievable, and his first game was, frankly, and we saw the headlines, was LeBron James-esque. No one had had a first game, number 1 pick, and performed the way that Paolo did. And I'm not saying Shaedon Sharpe is Paolo Banchero. But by the way, Paolo Banchero was the number 2 recruit in that class. Sharpe was 3. They're back-to-back. We just didn't see him. Had he gone to Kentucky and averaged 20 points a game, he wouldn't have been available at 7. He wouldn't have been available at 5. Just because the recency bias of we didn't see him play a bunch in college, Shaedon Sharpe fell. What an absolute gift for Blazer fans. He looked ready. He was athletically clearly ready. Physically, athletically, he can hang in the NBA. He checks that box. Obviously, he's not going to shoot 100% from 3 and go 3-for-3 every night, or 3-for-4, or whatever he ended up. But he could shoot. And he could shoot in his debut when he might be a little nervous, might be a little itchy, might be a little... And he made plays off the bench and was a key cog. I think Shaedon Sharpe's going to end up being an all-star. I think Anfernee Simons has a great chance to have as good a career or close to it as CJ McCollum by the time it's all said and done. And in both cases, I like the pick because Portland went, yeah, we'll skew young. Yeah, we'll skew for the future, not the present. But from a recruiting ranking standpoint, if these two players who people forgot about because of where they ended up in their year between high school and getting drafted, if they end up living up to their recruiting expectation, they're going to be stars. And guess what? They look like they're going to be stars. I think Shaedon Sharpe absolutely has a chance based on his athleticism, based on his shooting ability, based on his leaping ability. He's unbelievable. He has a chance to be right there with Jason Tatum, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson, Anthony Edwards, Evan Mobley from a career arc. And you could say, that's completely insane, you're crazy. Those are guys that were all ranked number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6 in their respective classes. Most of those guys that I just listed were the number 3 player in their class the year before, 2 years before, 3 years before Shaedon Sharpe was. The only difference, again, is we didn't see him dominate in college, which he would have done. The rumors were when he was around the Kentucky players and they ran any amount of pickup ball, he dominated. I think if you're a Blazer fan, I know, again, it's disappointing not to get Chet, not to get Paolo. But I really think the Blazers got themselves a real special player in Shaedon Sharpe. And I think it's going to be the type of player that we look back on and go, how in the world did he fall to 7? How in the world did that talented a wing that can score, that can jump over everybody, that can shoot, that can defend, how in the world did the league let him fall to 7? I think that's going to be the discussion. It was disappointing if you're a Blazer fan to fall the 7th pick. There was a chance to pair somebody with Dame and hit the ground running. They may have done it anyway at 7. And I think if you watch that season opener, there are concerns. Front court depth is a concern. Damian Lillard's lack of explosiveness in a game 1 is something to make note of. Is it a concern? No. Dame's a superstar. It's something to watch, something to monitor. But to me, from a, you know, maybe it's galaxy brain, I get the Jeremy Grant stuff, and that's exciting. I get Justice Winslow playing the 5 and being a good defensive force inside late in the game. Those are all really positive developments. But if you're looking at what's the reason for optimism in Portland, you might have a dynamic duo of the future in Anfernee Simons and Shaedon Sharpe that is going to compete for lofty rankings and playoff seeding in the future. And I think that's very, very exciting. Would it shock me if 4 years from now Shaedon Sharpe's a 92 rating in 2K? Not at all. In fact, it would shock me the other way if we're talking about him as a guy who didn't make it. There's just too many physical gifts. He looks too ready. He's too comfortable. He made the right decisions with the ball in his hands. He made the right decision defensively. This is a player who was born for this moment and is going to be a superstar. For him to play in his first game, missing a year of basketball essentially, and looking that polished in his season opener is really, really impressive. And I am just absolutely as excited as you could possibly be about Shaedon Sharpe. I tweeted in the second quarter last night, I know I'm crazy, it's game 1, you're supposed to take things in stride. To me, Sharpe is an untouchable asset for Portland. Untouchable. Now, within somebody said, okay, Jason Tatum for Sharpe. Well, yeah, of course. Within reason, though, I don't know that I would trade. Like, I definitely wouldn't trade Sharpe for any type of mid-level pick. I wouldn't trade him for a guy who's not an perennial all-star. I think straight up, obviously Jeremy Grant's on the team, but if that negotiation would have been, we want your number 7 pick, we want Shaedon Sharpe for Jeremy Grant, I wouldn't have been willing to do it. I think it has to be the only guy you could potentially trade him for is a perennial all-star if you ever would. And the reason is there aren't that many guys that come into the league that are that young, that are that gifted, that are that poised, that have his skill set and athleticism. They just don't come around that often. And when they do, you usually are picking them 1, 2, or 3. You're not getting them at 7. The Blazers got a gift, and I cannot wait to watch not only this season, but the future of the Blazers. Going to be very, very exciting. We'll wrap up Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Got a little bit of breaking news, courtesy of On3 Sports. Did they go by On3 Sports or On3? On3, they are reporting that Peyton Bowen, the 5-star Texas safety is taking an official visit to Oregon this weekend. Peyton Bowen is currently committed to Notre Dame. He's the number two safety in the country, the number 16 overall recruit, and Notre Dame not super confident in being able to hang on to that one. He's visited Oklahoma. He's shown interest in Oklahoma. A lot of people thinking this is a Notre Dame-Oklahoma battle. However, it sounds as though, based on On3's report, that if Peyton Bowen's taking a visit to Oregon, Oregon is going to jump into the mix there as well. That would be absolutely huge for the Ducks. An unbelievable athlete. In fact, he just made an incredible play on ESPN2. They're playing on TV right now, unless the game just ended. But he had a punt return for a touchdown that showed off his athleticism, his electric playmaking ability with the ball in his hands. Peyton Bowen's a big-time athlete, and just goes to highlight just how special this weekend's going to be potentially for the Oregon Ducks, with Elijah Brown, the number five quarterback in the country, with Jordan Davis, the number one running back, DeAndre Carter, the number one interior offensive lineman in the country. We had Brandon Baker on, sort of, in that second segment. He was in and out because of reception. He's the number two offensive tackle in the country. All visiting Oregon this weekend. It's a big weekend. Obviously, when you have College Game Day in town, you want to take advantage of that. This was already set to be a big weekend for the Ducks, and obviously they've elevated that with some of the visitors they're having on campus. Game Day is going to be there. Chip Kelly back in Autzen, as if there weren't already enough on the line for this Oregon program, and frankly for the UCLA program, having all those modern-day prospects, having five-star safety Peyton Bowen all in attendance is just absolutely huge. It's going to be fascinating. And I think one of the kind of underreported elements of this game, and I really don't think either DTR or Bo Nix is going to end up winning the Heisman Trophy, but I do think unquestionably the winner of this game, as long as it's not a 10-7 game, which no one projects it to be, the winner of this game, their quarterback is going to be considered one of those dark horse candidates for the Heisman. Bo Nix has put up incredible numbers this year. And if you get away from that Georgia game and just look at what he's done, he's been spectacular. DTR has been spectacular. Both those quarterbacks have played unbelievably well. There's no clear-cut Heisman candidate in the Pac-12. Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from USC, and Caleb Williams are somewhat going to split that vote. Plus, they lost recently, so they kind of took a step back. And if you're looking for whoever the marquee team in the Pac-12 is, you need a Heisman candidate somewhere out of the Pac-12. It tends to work regionally. I think that could end up being the winner of this game. And I think we could be looking at a scenario where, as long as that program keeps winning, that either Bo Nix or DTR is in New York City for the Heisman ceremony a few months from now. Do I expect them to win it? Not a chance. I don't think there's any way they win it. But I still think it's good for your program to have a guy on the podium. If you're Chip Kelly, who has had his ups and downs at UCLA, to be able to say, I got another guy up there. I got another guy to be a finalist for the Heisman. I did it again somewhere else. That's a recruiting feather in his cap. If you're Kenny Dillingham, Dan Lanning, you can say, year one, you know, defensive coach is the knock on Lanning. Well, look, you know, we put a guy in New York City. We had a guy up for the Heisman Trophy. He was a Heisman finalist. If you're Kenny Dillingham, his first real year as an offensive coordinator calling plays, running the program, he'll be able to say, hey, I had a Heisman finalist. I think it absolutely matters. And I think that when you're looking at different storylines from this game, I think that's one of the ones that's a little bit under-discussed. You know, you look at Bo Nix's numbers. He's thrown for 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns, 3 picks. 2 of those picks came against Georgia, so only one in the last several games. He's also run for 331 yards and 8 touchdowns. So he's got 20 touchdowns and 3 picks on the year, and 2 of those picks came in the first game. That's 20-1 since that first game. That's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable touchdown to turnover ratio, touchdown to interception ratio. Bo Nix has played unbelievably well. He settled in, settled down, and there was so much talk when he came, and I talked about it, that he was up and down, that he played great in some games and just absolutely terrible in others. And it seemed like whenever Auburn played a ranked team, he would have like no touchdowns, 3 picks. 1 touchdown, 2 picks for 150 yards. And then they'd play Kentucky and he'd throw for 315 yards or three touchdowns and no interceptions. And you go, oh, okay, I get what this is. He's good enough to be a mid-tier quarterback who struggles against elite opponents. And now that he's away from Auburn, and we're seeing what's going on with that Auburn program and Coach Harrison, maybe the issue was the Auburn program and not Bo Nix. Maybe Bo Nix has been a pretty good quarterback the whole time, and he just doesn't have a ton of talent, or he didn't have a ton of talent around him. Oregon's got a veteran offensive line. I think Brandon Baker really hit on it during his interview. He said, and he's right, and I know this will rub some Oregon fans the wrong way. He said they don't have the most talented offensive line. They don't. That Oregon offensive line is not loaded with first, second, third round picks. I love Alex Forsythe. He has an NFL future. I don't think he's going to be a first round pick. I don't think he's going to be a second round pick. They've got a couple of guys on the right side that I'm not sure should be starters at the positions they're playing. But they've played together a long time. They're a cohesive unit, and they were the last unit in the country to give up a sack. So they're doing something right. And I think Coach Clem is a very good coach, and that was one of the things that people talked about when he was at UCLA, that he didn't always recruit great, that he recruited a little better than the UCLA program traditionally did, but that he wasn't some elite recruiter bringing in five-star guys. He brought in a lot of three- and four-star guys, and he developed them. And that for a while there, UCLA developed a ton of really good offensive linemen. Well, I think we're seeing some of that carry over from Cristobal now to Clem, and he's taking him to the next level. I think those are really encouraging signs. So Bo Nix has a good offensive line, not a great offensive line. He's got weapons. I think Terrace Ferguson has had a couple plays where you can tell he's got serious dog in him when he's near the goal line. You're not going to stop him. He smells the end zone. He wants the end zone. He's going to score. Outside of tight end, they've got Troy Franklin, Dante Thornton, Chris Hudson, Chase Cota. There are some real athletes there. And then a stable of, what, four running backs that can all tote the rock and play pretty well? There are good weapons there. And so if you're Bo Nix and you're surrounded by pretty good talent and you've been playing for 4 years, it's a whole lot easier when your supporting cast can play. And I'm not saying they're all superstars. Right now, I think Bo Nix is the straw that stirs the drink. But he's got good enough players that he knows what to do. He can make the right reads and get the ball in their hands. He's got a good enough offensive line to have time. They've got a good enough run game that he can mix in some play action. They've got a good enough run game that teams have to respect it, and they can't just sit back in coverages with 7 and 8. It's a good balance, and Bo Nix has enough of a supporting cast to be a pretty good player. I can't wait for this game. I think this is one of those games that kind of gives Dan Lanning a chance to say, okay, first big game, you went against your former coach. You know some of his defense. You're doing the checkers version of his defense. He's doing the chess version of your defense. He knows what you're going to do, and he outcoached you, and he's got better talent. Now it's another top 10 matchup. Now it's another time where this coaching staff's going to be challenged a little bit. What do you got? How do you stop UCLA's run game? It's going to be a fascinating matchup. Jordan, you got a score for me?
Prediction for this weekend?
Yeah.
I don't know the final score, but I think Ducks by 3. I really think it's going to be close.
Gosh,
I just don't know how many. You know what? Fine. 30-27 Ducks. There you go.
That's even worse. I was going to say 31-28, and I had that. I've said that all week.
So, great minds think alike, baby.
Maybe. I think Oregon wins this one 31-28. And I think Bo Nix, if Oregon continues to win, is going to end up being a Heisman finalist. There you go. Thank you, as always, for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. I apologize for the sound quality on the Brandon Baker interview. I think he was in a car. He lost reception a couple times, but we got him on the horn. I'll let you know how these visits went. From Peyton Bowen, Elijah Brown, Jordan Davison. We'll check in with all those guys. That'll be next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10A The Fan. As always, thank you for listening.
This has been Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the show for recruiting fans. Check out Andrew's work at scorebooklive.com and join us each week for Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.